Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that God will bless to us the reading again from God's precious word. Our brother has been bringing to us a word, life. Great to have eternal life. Today we have physical life, but it's great to have eternal life, because nothing else will do for eternity. My word really is the word sinners. And we have read about sinners today. And it's wonderful to think that we come from all different walks of life. We come from different parts of the world. We come from different backgrounds. But there's one word that clearly divides us all: sinners. That's where we started out our journey of life, a sinner. And if you're going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to be in glory in heaven, I want to tell you, there'll be a time in your life when you'll have to confess if you were a sinner. And everyone that is saved today can go back to the moment when they had to acknowledge before God that they were born a sinner. They realized that they lived as a sinner. And they realized that if they died a sinner, they'd never be in heaven. I want to say to your soul today, this is a serious message. This is not a fairy tale. This is a message that it will depend where you're going to spend eternity, whether you're going to be in heaven or hell. And you know, the hymn writer has put it very clear. Very clear to us all. Two ways before you lie. One upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. This world that we're living in today is good, that we're enjoying good health. It's good that we can look around the sunshine and God's creation. But life today could end. Life today is so short. It's only one life, and it's certainly passed. But your soul will last for all eternity. And I want to be faithful to you and to God's word today. I want to tell you, dear soul, don't die as an unrepentant sinner. Don't die in your sin, because if you do, my Bible makes it absolutely clear, you'll not be in heaven, but you'll be under the wrath of God eternally. And I want to bring to you clearly from the passage that we have read together a real description of ourselves. We're ungodly. Don't like that term, do we? You know, we don't like to describe ourselves as ungodly. We like to be someone who is friendly. We like to be someone who's kind. Or we like to say to people, well, I live a fairly good life. I'm a very good person. And maybe you are. And I look upon children today that are growing up in lovely homes. I look upon those today in our families. And today, you have to realize, there's a great divide in your home. There are those who are saved by the grace of God that are going to heaven. But sadly, there are those in the home today that are not saved. And they're still on the road to hell. But tonight, or today, let me remind you, it'd be good just to examine yourself in the presence of God. It's not what I'm saying about you. It's not what our brother David is saying about you. It's not what the brethren say about you. It's not what your mother and father say about you. It's what God says about you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is where it all began. When did it start? It started the moment you were born. The psalmist David could say that he was born in sin, shaping iniquity. He could say that before he was born, he went astray as soon as he was born. Speaking like he started out the pathway of life just like you and I. And no matter how rich a home you might be born into, no matter how royal a home you might be born into, no matter how poor a home you might be born, we all started at the journey of life, a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice. And we've lived today in this world. And the Bible said, judging God. You know, if we were standing in a court of law today, in the presence of God, you know, there'd be nothing good that God could say about me. Nothing. We've all went astray. And this would be a wonderful meeting. Say now, is there any hope for me? Mr. Preacher, you're starting off a very bad, dark message. You know, I'm glad the night that I can say it, hell is real to me. The night that I give God salvation, hell was real. You know, I had to confess to the God of eternity. That's where I deserve to be, because I'm a godly sinner. And I didn't live a bad life. I would really say I was greatly privileged to have mother and father praying for me in a saved home. Wonderful to have parents who are saved. But in the presence of God, I had to confess, I am a guilty sinner. I want to ask you, dear soul in the meeting tonight, how would you describe yourself? And we look upon the definition of a sinner as a just and godly. Hell deserving. There's nothing good about us at all. You know what the Bible says? From the head to the sole of the foot, there's nothing only wounds and bruises and putrefies. That's what we stand. You see, this would be a wonderful meeting if we could just put out all of the things of time and sense for a moment and think of all of the pleasures that we enjoyed. And just for a moment, think, how would God describe me? And how would I describe myself? Because the two things will have to come hand in hand. You'll have to see yourself in God's eyes. You'll never get to heaven without discovering what God sees in you. Just where did it all happen? It all happened back yonder in the Garden of Eden. Away back yonder in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve yonder, and God had given a clear command of every tree they made, except one. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you know what the Bible says? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And right from Adam until 2023, that's where we all stand. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, tonight, we are so sinful. You know, we have to realize in ourselves, and maybe you don't realize it, but you don't look upon your life as a sinful life. But you know, no one ever needs to teach you sin. It's naturally within us all. You take a child, young child, and we looked upon them. Oh, how sweet they are. But you know, no one ever has to teach them to sin, because naturally within themselves, there's that sinful nature. There's that nature that's against God. And today, wonderful to think that God would love the sinner like me. It's wonderful to think that there is hope. Even though we are sinful, even though we are ungodly, even though we have went astray. But you know, the sad part about it is this, that if I don't get right with God and I die a sinner, I'll be lost eternally. So we're all today, all on the same journey. We're on the broad way. The broad way that leads to destruction. And if we travel the road of life, it might be those today that are traveling the broad road today, and they're very much on the clean side of it. They were very much preserved, but you know, the end is still destructive. There's those today in the world, and they've committed awful deeds, murders, awful, heinous deeds. They're walking down the bad side of the roadway, but it still ends in destruction. I want to tell you, every single one of us, we're starting out the journey of life on the broad way. I want to say today, and I'm emphasizing it, the end is destruction. So we have the definition of the sinner in God. But it's wonderful to think we read Christ died for the ungodly. And I want to take you for a moment of how that we can be saved, how this awful matter of our sins can be dealt with, how it is that we can get this eternal life that we've been hearing about today, and the wonderful price that has been paid for it. Oh, today it's great to have eternal life. You know the first test we've read? Therefore, being justified by faith. I want to be simple today, because at this meeting, we've never been this way before. We don't know how much longer we've got upon this earth. And I want to tell you, dear son, you don't know how long you've got to live upon this earth, because the breath that you breathe is in the very palm of God's hand. He's in control. And if God was to take you out into eternity without your sins forgiven, I want to say again, lost and lost eternity. Justification by faith. That's a big word to someone. Well, I want to say today, we're lost. We deserve eternal death, all because of man's sin. And because I've rejected God's salvation, I will die in my sin. But you know, God can save me. How? He can make me absolutely pure. He can make me absolutely right. He can remove every penalty of sin. You know, it's wonderful to think if I was standing in a courtroom, in the courtroom of God, you know, I'd be proved guilty. And I would have no argument. I couldn't say anything to God. God would finally get them. And today, I'm glad that I can be found righteous in His sight. My sins are all taken away. How does it happen to someone? Just in the way that the verse says, by faith. Now, I want to say this today. I want us all to examine ourselves in the presence of God. Have I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Or if I just believed about the Lord Jesus, have I need to go without ground again? You see, this matter of being saved, it's not a matter of saying, well, I think I'll be a Christian. I think I'll join the church, and I'll start going to all the meetings, and I'll begin to live a better life. That'll save me. No, friend, we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus. What's faith? Well, if you want a little expression for it, just remember, forsaking all, I trust Him. And today, as I bring this message to you, I'm glad that we can be made right with God. We can be justified with God. All of our sins can be taken away. This is someone, how did I get it? How can I get it? I want to say, you can get it today in the very meeting that we're sitting in. In this very gospel meeting, you can know your sins are forgiven. You can be right for heaven, knowing Christ as your Savior. Faith. Well, I want to tell you, I would like to tell you how I came to know the Lord Jesus. I love to tell people how I came to know the Lord Jesus. Even though I was brought up in a Christian home, even though I was prayed for, even though I had those that I associated with were saved, I'm glad that God brought me to the realization that I had a soul that's going to live for eternity. And I had to realize that if I died as I was, I'd be lost in hell. It's a real thought. That tonight gripped my soul on the 6th of December, 1965, that I realized I'm a sinner on the way to hell. And I had to confess before God that I was a sinner deserving eternal death. But I'm glad that God brought the truth of the gospel to my soul. That which I heard about, says, you must have heard it many times. And there was never a moment in my life that I didn't believe that Christ came into this world and died on the cross. There was never a moment that I didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was God's Son. And I knew that He died on this cross for sinners. I knew all that. Wasn't saved. Maybe there's someone today who says, that's all I've got. That's all I've got. Oh, I want to tell you, the night that God saved me was on the 7th of December, the night after, that I realized God brought to me the reality of hell. And I can look upon that occasion Yonder in the gospel, they have realized the darkness. The darkness. And I can remember thinking to myself, the preachers used to tell us about fire, lake of fire, not a drop of water to cool the parched tongue. The reality of this is, that's where I'm going. That's what I deserve. I'm glad that God brought this reality of salvation to my soul. In a moment of time, I realized on the cross of Calvary, Christ died for me. It was my sin. And I had to realize that on the cross of Calvary, there was another that took my place, another that suffered in my stead. You know something? I exercised faith in God's beloved Son. The work was complete. I remember even going home from the meeting that night, sitting down on the sofa yonder, and my mother said to me, "Martin, how do you know you're saved?" That was a good question the night they got saved. "How do you know you're saved?" I said to her, "Mum, John 3:16 was just a verse last night that I quoted, but John 3:16 meant everything to me tonight." I said to her, "Mum, for God so loved the world, he loved me." I was great to acknowledge it. "For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." Oh, this is the question. Mom, that's me. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad tonight another took my place. Another bore the penalty of my sin on his own body in the tree. And I exercised faith. You know something? My sin was gone. Did I get a happy feeling? Did I have to sign a little card? Did I jump up and down? No. I tell you, I was happy. I was happy because I was going to heaven, knowing my sins were all taken away, removed as far as the east is from the west. That is. I want to ask us all tonight, are you going to heaven? Might be someone who says, "Well, I think so." There might be someone in the home in some of the homes today say, "Well, I remember as a little boy, I made a confession and I said I was saved." I want to ask you, are you genuinely saved? Do you really know your sins are forgiven? Do you really know that all is well for eternity? You know, a great test of our faith is when that moment comes to leave this world, to rest your head upon Christ, say, "Christ for me. I'm going to heaven because Christ took my place, suffered in Calvary." I want to ask you today now, if God was to close his hand upon your breath, take you into eternity, would you say, "I have no fear. I've been justified by faith. I'm resting on the finished work of Christ. And I'm going to heaven all because Christ died for me." And we'll talk about that in a moment. So we have the description of the sinner, ungodly. We have the justification by faith to say, that's the deliverance for the sinner. That's the only means of deliverance, is justification. You know, I want to say this today. Maybe there's young children here. I want to say, don't let the word justification get to you today. But get right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize that on the cross of Calvary, Christ died for me. And what about peace? Tells us also, therefore being justified by faith. Well, what does it bring us into? Peace. You see, we're at enmity with God when we were born, because we're born a sinner. We're in the outside place. Adam was put out of the garden, and we started the journey of life outside. But I'm glad. I'm glad there was a great peace agreement made with God. You know what it was? On the cross of Calvary, God's beloved Son, the very best of him, he bore what man said to him. But I'm glad today he bore what Christ did to him. On the cross of Calvary, he would wait for my transgression. And today I'm glad there was a great peace agreement made. It's today. It's there for everyone. Do you know what the peace agreement was for? It was for the whole world. No one is excluded. Not even you. Not you. You are included in God's plan of salvation. It said, whosoever believeth hath this life. This peace. You know, it's a good peace. It's a good peace. I may never see Northern Ireland again. I'm hoping to go there on Friday. Get back home. But I want to tell you this. I'm more sure of heaven, my eternal home, than I have to reach my earthly home. Just how did that all happen? It happened on the 7th of December, 65, when I put my faith in prayer and I had peace with God. Peace. You know something? Many people have longed for peace. Maybe there's someone in the meeting and you're struggling, and you're really struggling with the things of this life. You're struggling in your soul. Am I saved? Am I born again? Do I really know my sins forgiven? Did it really happen on that occasion? Was I genuinely saved? I want to say, if there's a doubt in your mind today, this is a great day to see what the matter says. Settled forever. Sin's tremendous day. Glory to Jesus. Blessed be his name. Today, have you peace? Peace in your soul. It's a great thing now, just for a moment. There's two things that gives me great joy. To know that if anything was to happen to my body, this body really is decaying. But this body, I'm not really concerned about it, really. But you know, I'm glad that if this body was to stop functioning upon this earth, I know that I'm going to heaven. There's a day coming when I'll have a new body, like unto the body of my blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Another thought, and we've touched upon it in prayer today. The Lord Jesus, who died upon the cross, he's coming again. He's coming. You ever think about it? He could come before the meeting's over. I hope, child of God, you believe that. I hope we all believe it. And wouldn't be an awful business today. But if the Lord was to come before 3 o'clock, ministry, but he's come before today, and he could come. I believe it. I wonder how many would be sitting around the tables today. I wonder what the few over here left behind for the judgment of God, realizing, well, I never had peace with God. Maybe there's someone down the middle here today, and if the Lord was to come back to the clouds and give the shout to bring him home, then saved him to glory. Left behind. Unless there's someone, sure, there have been loads of people left behind. I want to tell you, dear soul, tonight, if you're left behind, there's nothing to look forward to but the wrath and the judgment of God. Nothing. Oh, yes, Satan, with all his wisdom, he caused confusion. Get people to believe and lie. And even though the Kuroi Chronicle or whatever the press might be will say millions have disappeared. And the question, well, that's just a fable. That's just a fable. I want to say to slow tonight, I trust that you're ready for the Lord come. And we can have peace with God that I come for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we have the calmness of the sinner. Oh, yes, peace. Peace that the friends of this world can give. You see, people long for peace in the pleasures of this world. Some people really want to enjoy life to the full, and they give everything to enjoy the world in which we live. But deep down in their heart, there's no peace. No peace. But the night they see the souls are saved, I would go around every Christian today and I would say to them, do you have peace in your soul? Father would say, well, I have a few aches and pains, but what about your soul? Oh, it's right. It's ready for heaven. And you know, whenever someone comes to the end of life, you know, it's wonderful to think that those that are suffering so long, so much towards the end of the life say, I've got peace with God. And they're pleading, Lord, take me. I've been there. I've seen those that are longing to be with Christ because they know there's a great peace. A great peace. Their sins are all forgiven and they're ready for heaven at the end of life. Now, let me dwell for a moment upon the Lord Jesus. Because today I'm glad that one who we have read about, it says, Christ died for the ungodly. And the verse is reminding us, we have no strength in ourselves. We are absolutely helpless to save ourselves. We cannot create even an anxious thought in our own soul. It takes God to work. God is bringing to you the message of the gospel on other hand. And today, so when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me spend a moment. Why? We've heard it already. Our brother has brought us clearly to the cost of eternal life. It cost God the giving of his only Son. Down from the glory the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of sin. Gazing in wonder, I there exclaimed, Jesus died for me. I want to get to the conversion of the Son. It's all of Christ. And we look upon one who was so great, the very creator of heaven and earth, the one that called the world into being, the one that traveled this world and he went about doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. But you know, best of all, his mind was set on Calvary. And we come to Calvary. Men had done the very worst upon the Son of God. It says they hated him without a cause. They despised and rejected him. But upon the cross of Calvary, Christ was nailed by the hands and by the feet. I want to say this. The man had done all of those evil deeds upon the Son of God. God down in judgment upon his Son. Laid upon his own Son, the judgment was due to you and I. And today, we can say with the writer that all our sins were laid upon him. Think of it, God laid upon his Son the judgment that was due to me. All our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who youth, led upon his Son, doesn't leave us there. Unbelieving, I am free. The conversion of the Son. You see, tonight, Christ didn't need to die, no, but it was for us that he died. Christ was the one who was spotless and holy upon the cross of Calvary, but on the cross he was made sin for us to the dead. He's standing with outstretched arms and says, I've paid the price for you. I have given my life for you. His life for me. And today, what's he want us to do? Do nothing. Just come to the Kilroy conference and go home again. Meet up with the friends. Have a wonderful conversation with them. Enjoy their company. Go home again. Wouldn't this be an awful business? That you could come to the conference and go home from the conference, unsaved, still in your sin. I tell you, this would be a great conference. Not to bring any glory to me or to the brethren of Kilroy, but it would be a great day in your life's experience as this day. You would just come as a guilty sinner and say, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Give me lost and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. All today, are you going to come? Are you going to leave another day? Are you going to go out of the world again and say, well, maybe not today, maybe another day? You know, I used to think like that. And God brought the reality of that verse before me on many occasions. Lord God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if God is striving with you today, they hold upon this wonderful opportunity, the day of grace. Salvation is still proclaimed, and the scripture says, now is the exact time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. Sadly, we heard this morning, yesterday, dear man in a farming accident. I'm glad he was saved. I'm glad he had peace with God. But you know, a farming accident, he was taken into eternity. He's with the Lord. And I look upon my audience today. You never know what a day may bring forth. But wouldn't it be sad if there would be someone in this audience today who's hearing the gospel for the last time and have never been converted, never have put their trust in Christ? What's the future? I just want to be solemn for a moment, because God gives us a great picture of this Bible. He tells us about a man that lived upon this earth. Says he first sumptuous stuff, maybe that describes him, well off, full of health. But it says he first sumptuous stuff, but it says, and he died. Now that would be okay, we left it there. But the scriptures go on to say, and he died, doesn't stop. It says, now listen, you must see it. Says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being victorious. But I'm thinking, that means that someone left this world within to return, and they opened their eyes and saw the face of God. I want to tell you, friend, that's why salvation is so important. That's why today it's great to have peace with God. That's why it's great to have a conversion. I'm not talking about a date in the calendar. I'm talking about a real experience. When you've got new life, eternal life, today you can have it. Come unto me, the Lord said. I'll give you. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. Could I quote John 3:16? As a someone I know a lot by heart. I used to say this many occasions at gospel meetings. I believe that John 3:16 would be quoted in hell and the lake of fire and turneth. It's a good fact. But there was someone today that knows John 3:16 and they're not saved. Is there someone that this afternoon knows the words off by heart and yet not saved? What's his name? Listen carefully. If you're not saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what, there's someone who's take the place of a whosoever today, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, dear soul, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior shall not perish. Today, I'm amongst those that are saved. I wonder what it will do. That's a question you'll have to answer. And I trust that you might make that decision this afternoon. I'm just as a sinner, an ungodly sinner, put your trust in Christ, faith in Christ, and have peace with God, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The first we read, take with him, Christ died.